want to tune into Witness Radio, go to Play Store on your phone, type Witness Radio. You will see the application, download it, and start listening to Witness Radio. You can also visit our website on www.witnessradio.org. Click live on your PC's right hand, then click the button in the middle. Then listen to Witness Radio and learn all issues about land and environmental protection.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us as the sun rises. You're listening to The Dawn, right here on Witness Radio.
Good morning, Africa. Good morning, Uganda. And we thank you for listening to Witness Radio, connecting local and indigenous communities across the globe. You are listening to The Dawn, a program that airs every weekday from 5 to 6 a.m. East African Standard Time. You can listen to us online at www.witnessradio.org or by simply visiting the Google Play Store and downloading the Witness Radio app. If there's anything you'd like to comment or let us know, please reach out to us on our WhatsApp, which is +256 745 965 765, or by directly calling us on +256 414 697 221. Let us have a song called Slave by Lucky Dube, and when we come back, we shall be looking at a report that was recently published by the Coalition for Human Rights and Development, exposing human rights violations by projects funded by KfW Bank in Germany. My name is Eunice. Good morning.
Thank you. I'm coming back home. My wife gets worried cause she knows she's got double trouble coming home. Sometimes I cry.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
You're listening to The Dawn at Witness Radio.
Welcome back from that short musical break. You are still tuned in to The Dawn only here at Witness Radio, connecting local and indigenous communities across the globe. You can join us online at www.witnessradio.org or by going to your Google Play Store and downloading the Witness Radio app. In today's program, we are going to look at a new report that was recently published by the Coalition for Human Rights in Development called KFW Irresponsible Banking, The Hidden Harms of Germany's Development Bank, that exposes the gross human rights violations associated with KFW's bank's funded projects. The report was launched virtually and featured a panel discussion including human rights defenders and experts in business and human rights. Some of the panelists included Claudia Susana Quintero, a Mexican indigenous human rights defender, Jimmy Jinting, an Indonesian human rights defender, Pichamon Yufantong, a United Nations Working Group on Business and Human Rights, and Dalile Antunes from the Coalition for Human Rights in Development. KFW Bank is one of the world's leading promotional banks. KFW has been committed to improving economic, social, and environmental living conditions across the globe on behalf of the Federal Republic of Germany and the Federal States since 1948. But what happens when development projects backed by the lender displace a village, pollute a river, or silence dissent? A new report on KFW Bank's human rights record says these aren't just hypotheticals, they are real risks and they are not being handled well enough. Although the bank claims to be committed to the Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs, and to only promote projects that do not harm the environment, the climate, and social issues at all, this report proves otherwise. From the analysis of KFW's environmental and social policies, the following key concerns emerge. First of all, weak safeguards. KFW's social and environmental policies are overly vague and open to interpretation. While its safeguards refer to international standards, they do not specify which standards apply or how compliance is monitored. No policy on reprisals. KFW lacks dedicated policies to prevent and address reprisals, and it remains unclear whether the bank group's standards in this area are considered applicable. Thirdly, reliance on clients. KFW safeguards also place excessive reliance on clients to identify environmental and social risks, allowing the bank to shirk responsibility for harms arising from its projects. Lack of transparency. Compared to other major development banks, KFW fails to provide essential, accessible information about its activities. The bank discloses only minimal details on its direct investments and does not meet international standards on access to information. accountability. The KFW group as a whole does not have an external independent complaint mechanism. Let us get into a brief commercial break, and when we come back, we shall be looking at some of the key report findings. You are still listening to The Dawn. Once again, good morning.
Tukaba uyu munsi tunejejwe nuko radio Witness yadusuye. Turanezerewe cyane rwose kimwe n'abagenzi banje nabo banezerewe birenze uko tubivumva.
Witness Radio.
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 You're listening to The Dawn at Witness Radio.
Thank you for staying tuned in to Witness Radio, connecting local and indigenous communities across the globe. The Dawn is the program you are listening to that happens every Monday to Friday from 5 to 6 a.m. East African Standard Time. You can catch us live at www.witnessradio.org or by visiting the Google Play Store and downloading the Witness Radio app. We are still continuing with details of the KFW Irresponsible Banking, the Hidden Harms of Germany's Development Bank report that was recently launched by the Coalition for Human Rights in Development, exposing human rights violations associated with the projects it funds. Well, you may be asking yourself why the Coalition for Human Rights in Development decided to focus on this particular financial institution, and Dalile Antunes, the person that wrote this report and also a collaborative researcher at Coalition for Human Rights in Development, tells us why.
The Coalition receives cases of reprisals from people affected by development projects in different parts of the world, and a disproportionate number of cases were coming from people affected by projects funded by this bank. That's why we decided to do a report about this and document some of its practices. So the KFW group is composed of three main business units. Two operate within Germany and Europe, while KFW Development Bank works outside Europe. And KFW Development Bank finances investments and provides advisory services abroad. Its priority areas are social development, environmental and climate protection, climate change adaptation, and the conservation of natural resources. And the KFW group includes two subsidiaries that operate internationally, the KFW IPEX Bank, and this is the group's largest subsidiary responsible for export and project finance. And its mandate is to promote the German export industry and the German investment corporation, DEG. And this is a smaller subsidiary that supports the private sector under the goal of promoting social justice, human rights, and ecological and economic sustainability. So the report is focused on KfW Development Bank, IPEX Bank, and DEG. As a public law institution, in the context of its international investment, KFW is expected to comply with German laws and regulations, as well as international laws and treaties ratified by the country. As it is wholly owned by the German government, the state's extraterritorial human rights obligations apply to the bank's activities. And under international law, KFW should respect the rights to freedom of opinion and expression, freedom of peaceful assembly, freedom of association, the right of access to information, and the rights of indigenous peoples to free, prior, and informed consent of business enterprises, which also applies to the KFW group. So what we did in this report is, through three case studies and a review of the relevant policies, we analyzed how KFW group is failing to mitigate and address the reprisal risk faced by people who oppose or raise concerns about the projects that the bank is financing internationally.
According to the report, some of the issues below were unveiled. The report says that KFW-funded projects are often imposed without adequately informing or consulting affected communities. It highlights that individuals raising concerns or opposing these projects have reportedly faced threats and attacks. Case studies cited in the report involve projects in Indonesia, Tanzania, and Mexico, where issues like forced relocations of indigenous communities and lack of adequate compensation were noted. The report also criticizes KFW's complaints procedures, stating they lack provisions to ensure independence and fail to protect those raising concerns. KFW, in response to some claims, stated that all financing is subject to sustainability guidelines, which include environmental and social impact assessments, and that they adhere to international standards like the Equator Principles. Different countries have faced the wrath of human rights violations by development projects, and this report outlined three case study countries that include Tanzania, Indonesia, and Mexico. And just to brief you about the Indonesia project, In Indonesia, on Flores Island, since 2021, the indigenous communities of Pocholok have been mobilizing against the expansion of the Ulumbu, geothermal power plant due to its harmful environmental and social impacts. The first phase of the project, which started in 2013, already led to serious environmental impacts, displaced communities, and jeopardize their livelihoods, culture, and traditional way of life. The expansion, which will affect around 2,000 people belonging to indigenous communities, risks worsening an already dire situation. Nevertheless, in October 2018, KFW approved a loan to the Indonesian state-owned utility company, PLN, to finance the expansion of the geothermal power plant and increase its capacity from 10 to 40 megawatts. Indonesia, which has one of the world's largest geothermal energy reserves, is presenting this project as a sustainable solution to support the just energy transition and reduce dependence on fossil fuels. However, failures in human rights due diligence, such as deficiencies in consultations, and lack of compensation for indigenous communities led to an escalation of social tension and reprisals, with those opposing the project facing harassment, physical attacks, and criminalization. The geothermal project in Pocholok, Indonesia, threatens the lives and culture of indigenous communities whose existence is tied to their ancestral lands and traditions. The project endangers their five sacred tenets, which include homes, communal space, sacred land, water, and ritual sites, risking displacement and cultural loss. Although the Indonesian constitution protects customary land rights, the government is permitting companies to illegally acquire the land, compensating only selected individuals who falsely claim ownership. This process excludes community participation, especially elders, and undermines collective rights. The impacts include, among others, livelihood losses, especially for women who depend on farming land, environmental harm, including air pollution, deforestation, landslide risks, and reduced water availability, social disruption with divisions arising between communities differently affected by the project. At least 75 community members and human rights defenders opposing the Pocholok project have suffered reprisals. This includes smear campaigns, harassment, intimidation, threats, arrests, physical assaults, gender-based violence, and criminalization. Former village leaders were also targeted. According to the report, the project area is heavily militarized, with police, municipal forces, and sometimes the army protecting company interests. Their presence creates fear, especially among women. KFW's client claims it held 28 consultations to obtain consent, that 80% of the people gave their consent, and that others were in the process of consenting. However, according to the report, local communities report these claims are false and misleading. In particular, human rights defenders interviewed for the research in the report They say that in 2017 they attended some socialization activities, but the process was flawed because only 4 out of 14 communities approved the project. Those supporting the project either lived far from the construction site or owned some pieces of land in the area but were not residing there. Not all affected communities were invited to join the activities, and the meetings were held far from Pocholyok. Additionally, the company withheld information about the scale of the project and its risks. Furthermore, some members expressed opposition to the project, but their comments were disregarded and they were not invited to subsequent consultations, and lack of meaningful consultations and informed consent. And the company deceitfully used the signatures of some community members on attendance sheets as proof of consent. Only in 2022, following a government decree, did the communities understand that this was a geothermal project that would impact their access to communal lands.
I'm Jimmy Ginting. I'm an advocate and also a researcher about the issue about human rights and also democracy. I'm in Pocholyok, started from October 2024 until today, and today I'm still in Manggarai Regency, and I'm also supported by Pocholyok community and also other community from Baca Aksara, polisa.com, and also with mining community alliance and also other alliance. Pocholyok, in a big picture, Pocholyok is a region surrounded by hills. So if we can imagine like a ball, so the residence of the Pocholyok is in the middle of the ball. So Pocholyok has population around 2,000 people. The texture of the soil in Pocholyok is easy for sort of like landsliding. So in July 2025, we conducted field visit and we found that more than 15 landsliding spots in Pocholyok. And actually, the geothermal exploration in Pocholyok has started in 2017 unilaterally. So the government of Indonesia mentioned this island as geothermal island. So this encourages a big exploitation happen in all Flores area. There are hundreds spots for geothermal exploration that will be conducted by the government through PTPLN or the state-owned electricity, a biggest state-owned electricity or power company in Indonesia. In Pocholyok, the environment situations, as I mentioned before, so it's very fragile, very vulnerable to landslide. But in some project, in the existing project in Ulumbu 56, there are some rusted roof, and we also get the report where people get dizzy because they breath edge to say S or sulfate exit. And we also have to understand the philosophy of the Pocholyok indigenous community. They have the life philosophical that is really related to their life about the water source, garden, the cemetery. And there's also several the place for the spirituals things. In Pocholyok, actually, there are several spots, like 6 spots, and 4 spots have been released and dominated by PLN. So this releasing process created pro and con due to this project. And this project also splitted some community pro and some are contra. And this also impacted to their social life. So their relations was initially in harmony, but then they like separate and they don't even greet each other in the last 3 years. So even like their blood, biological brothers and sisters, because they have like this dispute due to this project. This project is initially at the exploration stage. So it's not in the exploitation stage. It means that it's on the land releasing process, but the impact for the Pucuk Leo community is really significantly negative.
Wake up to the stories that matter most. Land, people, and the environment. Tune in to The Dawn at Witness Radio, your morning companion bringing you fresh, reliable news and insights on land rights and environmental issues from across Africa. From the struggles of farming communities to the victories of climate justice defenders to the hidden stories of land grabbing, you'll hear it all first thing in the morning. Join us every morning starting at 5 to 6 a.m. East African Standard Time on Witness Radio for The Dawn. Stay informed, stay inspired, and rise with the truth. The Dawn at Witness Radio, shining a light on land and environment in Africa.
You're listening to The Dawn at Witness Radio.
Indifferent from the above case is the Tanzania project. In November 2023, the Australian company Ecograph mandated KfW's Apex Bank to mobilize funding and secure credit covers to support the development of the Epanko Graphite project in Tanzania's Morogoro region in the district of Mahenge. Graphite is a critical mineral used in electric vehicle batteries and renewable energy storage. As the race towards critical minerals accelerates, Tanzania, which holds 5% of the world's graphite reserves, is seeking to position itself as a key global supplier. Local communities are hoping the project will bring economic benefits. However, they have been left in the dark about the compensation and relocation plans, and many villagers are concerned about the loss of livelihoods and the lack of meaningful engagement. So far, decisions around the project have been imposed without adequate consultations, and those who have raised questions or concerns have faced reprisals, including intimidation and arrests. According to several news articles and the company's website, KfW Apex Bank has been providing advisory services to Ecograph for the development of the Epanko mine for almost a decade. In October 2015, the company announced that KfW Apex Bank had signed a formal mandate letter to provide advice and structuring support in relation to previously announced United Loan Guarantee Scheme of the Federal Republic of Germany and, subject to due diligence, consider an initial senior loan of up to $40 million. In November 2023, KfW Apex Bank was again mandated to mobilize funding for the updated project upon satisfactory due diligence and credit approvals. In particular, the bank is tasked with securing credit cover and arranging a loan of up to $105 million. According to the report, there has already been a positive preliminary approval from the German Government Interministerial Committee. Germany has shown great interest in the Epanko project, driven by the growing demand for electric vehicle batteries and the need to diversify graphite sourcing from China, which holds the world's largest reserves but has introduced strict export limits. In October 2023, the German President Frank-Walter Steinmeier invited Ecograph to a roundtable discussion during its visit to Tanzania, underscoring Germany's keen interest in advancing this project. In June 2025, Ecograph announced that the European Union is also exploring support for the Etanco graphite project as part of its efforts to strengthen its critical mineral supply chains. In particular, the European Union is seeking to fund associated projects such as the regional road corridor from Mahenge to the Dar es Salaam port via the commercial hub of Ifakara. Let us get into a brief commercial break and when we come back, we will look at some of the things that the civil society members would like the bank to implement in order to carry out a harm-free development for all. You are still tuned in to Witness Radio. Good morning.
Do you have any information in regards to land grabbing? Or are you aware of any person who has been evicted and their property destroyed because of land disputes? Report to Witness Radio through our numbers 0414-697-221 or WhatsApp 0745-965-765. Or you can report directly to our website on www.witnessradio.org. Just click on the map, follow the direction, click on the map indicating the individuals and the land being grabbed. Click on that word, report evictions. Then report any victim of land evictions. Thereafter, search for your area of residence on that map. Click your area of residence, then a red dot will indicate. Click the red dot and fill in the form, then save your input. Don't forget to attach the picture of the grabbed land in question, then upload to send.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us as the sun rises. You're listening to The Dawn, right here on Witness Radio.
Welcome back from that break. You are still listening to The Dawn, a program that airs every Monday to Friday from 5 to 6 a.m. If you want to tune in, simply visit our website at www.witnessradio.org or through downloading the Witness Radio app from your Google Play Store. Now, civil society organizations have implored KfW Bank to do the following to address the issue of human rights abuse. First of all, to develop and implement clear, binding policies to assess reprisal risks and prevent, address, and remedy reprisals. Secondly, ensure transparency and disclose relevant, accessible information about projects to project-affected people. To prevent conflicts of interest and comply with safeguards, avoid relying solely on client-provided information for environmental and social plans or assessments, and ensuring that project-affected communities have safe and meaningful opportunities to engage, participate, and raise concerns. Additionally, the German Federal Ministry of Economic Cooperation and Development, which has oversight over KfW, should establish an independent and robust accountability mechanism to ensure that affected communities have access to redress when harmed by KfW projects.
So one of the key recommendations is that the bank should develop and implement policies, protocols, and guidelines regulating how it will assess and mitigate reprisal risk before project approval, and how to respond and remedy reprisals when they happen. These guidance should be developed in consultation with CSOs, and particularly those specializing in security of human rights offenders and groups affected by reprisals in the context of development projects. So these regulations should clearly communicate that the bank has zero tolerance for reprisals against those who criticize or oppose its projects, and that the bank will not proceed with investments where it cannot ensure that affected communities are able to raise their concerns safely and without fear of reprisals, including through suspension or cancellation of disbursements. And it should also detail these protocols, the steps and components of KfW's own due diligence processes aimed at assessing country and project-specific retaliation risks So they should make an analysis of contextual risk, civic space restriction, for example, in the area where they are operating, or social conflicts in the area that could be exacerbated by the project. The bank should carry out the contextual risk assessment and a project specific assessment. And also the bank should commit to respond to incidents of reprisals in the context of its projects. And it should state clearly how it will respond to reprisals. It should inform about which protocols are in place to deal with reprisals when they happen, who can be contacted at the bank to deal with the reprisals issues, what kind of measures these areas can adopt. So the process for dealing with reprisals should also be published in the website. And the reprisal risk assessment should be independently carried out by the bank as part of the project risk analysis and categorization. So that should be one of the key components of the risk categorization of the projects. And it should not rely on the client. So the client should not be doing its own reprisal risk assessment. It should be carried out independently by the bank. It should, of course, the bank affect, the protocol should assess how indigenous peoples are affected and other groups in marginalized situations that may be particularly at risk, for example, women, persons with disabilities, and also assess, for example, relevant allegations and cases of corruption, which may heighten the risk of reprisals when those allegations occur. In our experience, the reprisal risk heightened. So the part of the contextual risk assessment should include those considerations and conduct, of course, litigation due diligence on implementing agencies or companies. So it should assess if the company's track record and any ongoing or past litigation that may signal conflicts with the communities or signal risk of retaliation. So these are the main components of the recommendations with regards to reprisals. Of course, we make a lot of recommendations about transparency, which is a huge gap in the bank policies and practices. And really, the bank is much behind other multilateral development banks. So it is key that they start publishing on their website. The bank publishes on its website all the relevant project documents, so people can understand clearly which are the impacts of the projects, how they can participate, what are the results of the consultations, what assessment is carried out by the bank, which are the appraisal documents of the project. All this information should be published proactively by the bank and in the local languages, so communities can really access the content. And those are the key recommendations. Of course, there is more about participation, which was like a huge non-compliance in the cases we reviewed. They should respect FPIC and should independently assess also if the company has the consent of the communities, because sometimes the participation mechanisms are implemented by the clients, and also often the financiers rely on the information provided by the client to assess whether there is a participation or informed consent. So the bank should also have its own procedure to assess whether there is consent for the project, in particularly when there are affected indigenous communities. And the last is we also make recommendations about accountability mechanisms that BMC, which is the Federal Ministry of Economic Cooperation and Development, which oversees the bank, should establish an independent redressal system in line with the recommendations of the German Institute for Development Evaluation. And also, this is something that civil society organizations in Germany have requested. And this system should address all grievances from project-affected people regarding state agencies and all the involved development cooperation actors, including KFW. So these are in summary, but there are more detailed recommendations on the report.
Breaking the silence and elevating community voices. Witness Radio, your number one choice.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us as the sun rises. You're listening to The Dawn, right here on Witness Radio.
And that all brings us to the end of our program today, The Dawn, only here at Witness Radio, connecting local and indigenous communities across the globe. However, you can listen to us from Monday to Friday online at www.witnessradio.org or by visiting the Google Play Store and downloading the Witness Radio app. For any interactions or comments, please reach out to us on our WhatsApp, which is +256 745 965 765, or by directly calling us on +256 414 697 221. My name is Eunice. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to The Dawn at Witness Radio. Catch us live every Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. Don't miss. See you next time.